Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. Thanks so much for spending an hour with us today. I'm in for Neil this week as he's off at NRB trying to come up with all of the brilliant happenings in Christian broadcasting. Is that an accurate way to say that?
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I always wondered what went on there. That's it.
Don't really know, but brilliance returns when he comes back. So we just assume that that's what's happening there. Just gathering with all kinds of broadcasters who are trying to bring excellent programming. And we're just grateful for his time to be able to do that and to gather with all those other people.
Praying for safe travels for him at the end of the week, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like we are going to have some good weather, at least, so he will be able to get back safely, I hope. And otherwise, you're stuck with me for a very long time.
Well, that's okay. It's a great alternative.
And that's all right as well. Well, we are just having lots of fun subjects take place this week. And one of them is just this propensity to be on this ongoing treadmill of life that we don't stop enough to kind of enjoy the people who are around us, our God, to take time for ourselves. And what does that do to our spiritual life if we are constantly on the run? Well, we have just a wonderful guest today. Trulia Neubel is going to join us, and she has written just a fabulous book called Enjoy, Finding the Freedom to Delight Daily in God's Good Gifts. Do you find that you're taking time to enjoy those great gifts that God has given you? Well, we're going to chat about that a little bit. If you'd like to join in on that conversation, we'd love to have you do so. You can just give us a call at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. For now, I will introduce Trulia, and we'll get started with the show. Trulia Neubel is a gifted speaker and writer. She engages in subjects such as faith and family and diversity. Trulia has spoken at numerous conferences and churches and women's retreats, colleges and seminaries, and she's currently the Director of Community Outreach for the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission for the Southern Baptist Convention. Her new book, again, is called Enjoy, Finding the Freedom to Delight Daily in God's Good Gifts. Well, it's great to meet you, Trulia. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Well, I was so just intrigued by the title of your book because, like I said, it just seems like this pace of life has increased so much that it seems like the concept of taking any amount of time to simply enjoy our lives and the people in them seems to be a little bit challenging. Have you found that to be true as well?
Yes, absolutely. And even as I was writing the book, I was convicted in different areas because I can see in my own life, I have two beautiful children and they are great examples of how to delight. And they can stop and they can smell roses or they can look at a snail and I want to push them and hurry on. And so I can see it in my own life, a desire to keep moving and keep going rather than waiting and savoring and enjoying the good gifts that God has given us.
Well, you know, Psalm 34 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And sometimes I wonder, are we even giving ourselves time to taste or even look at things other than everything that's going by us so quickly?
Yeah, and in this world of social media, which I love and engage in, and short blogs, our attention span, I don't know the scientific research, but it's out there, but our attention span is shrinking. And so we're just constantly in a hurry. Think about even eating breakfast. Half the time we're grabbing something and running out the door. And everything is rushed. So it's not a surprise to me that this is an area where we could battle. And even with the Lord, how often do we sit and pray and sit and meditate on His word besides checking something off the box? Mm. And it is a challenge, and it's something that I hope this book would encourage people that it's good to savor, it's good to reflect, it's good to enjoy God. Often we're filled with guilt, which I'm sure we're going to talk about at some point, but I think that is part of what hinders us as well.
Well, you start off your book by just reflecting on the creation story and that God actually created us to enjoy Him and enjoy what He had made. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Well, in the beginning, there's a few things about this, but God, he is the creator, and he has created us to image him, to reflect various aspects of who he is. And in the very beginning, we see God creating. He's delighting. He said he creates things, and then what does he say? It is good. So he's delighting over his creation, and he's already caring and loving for his creation. And then he rests. God, who doesn't need rest, rests. And so as his image bearers, we can reflect through creation. We also need to understand that we can rest. So we work, and which is, I have a chapter on work and I have a chapter on rest. And so as we image him, I think we can, this is part of reflecting him, is enjoying these good gifts that he has given us. And he started with creation. And then we read in Psalm 8, he creates all these amazing things, right? And then he creates man, and he gives us dominion over it. And the psalmist asks, what is man that you are mindful of him? And so it's pretty remarkable to think that our holy, awesome, just creator God creates all the oceans, these vast mountains, the seas, the animals, and yet creates man, male and female, and gives us dominion over it. He gives us where we are to rule, to serve, to steward this gift of creation. So I just find it quite remarkable, and I join the psalmist. What is man that you are mindful of him? It wasn't a surprise that Adam and Eve would sin, and yet he still cared for them. He covers them, and ultimately he covers us with Jesus's righteousness. So it's really the creation story. That's just a glimpse of it, but it's just remarkable, God's love and kindness, and how we can see it at the beginning.
You know, isn't that an amazing concept to think about him creating the world and everything in it, and then picking us, creating us, and then sitting back, like taking the time to sit back and say, hey, what I did, that's pretty amazing. That's really good. And I think about, you know, I'm not a very creative person, but there's times when I might do something pretty neat in the yard, or maybe I'll make a really great cake, or I'll do something and then sit back and I'm like, I don't even want anything to happen to this because I've done something that is amazing here. And to think what he did and how he rested to look upon what he'd done as good, it really is, like you said, it is remarkable. And we should probably take a lesson from that, shouldn't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in Zephaniah, it talks about God, he sings over us. In our relationships, how often are we singing over others and rejoicing over others and encouraging them? There's really scripture after scripture where we see God delighting and enjoying. And yes, if we could reflect that aspect of who our Creator God is, what joy it is, what freedom there is in that. And just like you said, to create something. I'm not incredibly creative either, but I know that God's given me other gifts and I'm administrative, and God is a God of order, right? So to be able to create something in or organize something, and then to step back and know, okay, I can reflect God in this way. And then just enjoy it until my kids come and, you know, make a wreck of the house or whatever it is. So there is something just really remarkable in sitting back and reflecting and thanking God, right, for what we have in his good gifts.
Isn't that funny? Because when I took my spiritual gifts test and administrative came up, I said, I don't want this gift. This is really no fun. Why would I want to have a gift of administration? Mm-hmm. But it took me a long time to figure out, oh, this is a really helpful gift for other people as well. It's helpful for my church.
Absolutely.
It's helpful for my family. It's helpful for me. But it's funny because when you first learn that that's one of the top gifts, it's kind of a strange one, isn't it?
It is, but yet it's not, right?
Yeah. So I understand it now.
Yeah. And so, I think when we think about the spiritual gifts, they are for the service of others. Ultimately, they're to glorify God mm-hmm. and to serve and love others. And so to be gifted in administration is to the glory of the Lord so that you can serve and love others. Mm-hmm. And I love how Paul describes all the gifts. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 12, where he talks about the body and all the many parts. And we can't all be heads, and we need pinkies, and we can't all be lips, and we need ears. And so it is, again, beautiful how our Creator God creates all of us uniquely for His glory and for the benefit of others, and it is for the good of others. And we can enjoy and encourage, and so in one of the chapters I talk about relationships. And we can encourage one another in their gifts. So if you're gifted in administration, we can thank you. God has created you this way. Thank the Lord and thank you for using your gifts to serve and love others. Yeah, absolutely. It's really there's a freedom in understanding how God has created us and how God has created others, and understanding that we all are a part of His image-bearing kingdom, and we all have various functions, and we can in it as we're seeing God build and use His church. It's pretty remarkable. But of course, we also know that as image bearers, all people who walk this earth image Him, and so we can acknowledge that uniqueness in creation at God does.
Well, I'm talking to Trulia Neuvel today about her book, In Joy, Finding the Freedom to Delight Daily in God's Good Gifts. We're going to talk a little bit more about how God looks at us and how that can change our perspective of ourselves as well. We'll talk about how to enjoy Him in different aspects of our life as well. If you're listening along and you'd like to learn more about it, well, Trulia has provided some copies of her book to give away, and we'd love to get those in your hands. I'll have Carissa answer the phones, and she can put your name on a list. We'll do a drawing at the end of the show. 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. Give us a call, and we'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. Just so pleased to have author and speaker Trulia Neuvel with me today. She's written a book called In Joy, Finding the Freedom to Delight Daily in God's Good Gifts. Do you take the time to enjoy in the gifts that God has given you, or are you kind of running yourself a little bit ragged? Well, Trulia, you wrote a great chapter on the importance of rest. We touched on it just a little bit before the break, that even God rested when He saw that what He had created was good. But work seems to quickly become the place where people put so much of their energy that resting, the concept of rest, seems like something that we can't possibly take time to do. How do you reconcile those two things?
Sure. Just bluntly, it's to recognize that I'm not God. So only God doesn't need rest. Only God can continue to go. But I can't remember the psalm or the proverb. I can't remember where it is. But sleep is a gift to us, and we need rest, and we need to acknowledge our dependence on God. And when we rest, it is an acknowledgement that we can do nothing without our Lord, and we can't run in our own strength. So we are weak, and we need Him. So we need to rest. The problem is that we can struggle with either chasing a dream or guilt. So resting can be difficult or it could also be that work is an idol. We've made work a small g god, and we feel like we just can't lay it down. Like we're really trying to play God instead of enjoying the rest that we really have to have.
I do remember reading something when I was studying rest. I was doing a talk on rest, and And this particular writer said that when we neglect to rest, when we purposely do not rest and keep going and going, it's really almost a lack of trust that God is in control. We think that we're the ones who are driving that bus instead of allowing him to be the one, of course, who is driving the bus and just to recognize that because he wants us to be well rested.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. When we don't rest, there is most likely a trust issue there, trusting that God, that tomorrow is the Lord's and not ours, right? So he tells us not to worry about tomorrow because today has enough worries of its own. And then trusting that he's given us only a few hours in the day and we can only accomplish what he has already set for us to accomplish in that we can't do anymore. Mm-hmm. And trusting that God is good in his, so that we don't have to be in control. Like we can trust him. We can rest in his goodness that he's good as he's, working in our lives and working out the day. It's hard to sit and believe and trust that if we don't get something done, it will be okay. I think it could be a number of other things. The fear of man, afraid of what others think of us because we're trying to make a deadline or it could be the guilt that I talked about, feeling like if we rest, then it's wrong. Like we should always be working. And so I agree 100%. We need to trust the Lord and we have to grow in faith in order to do that.
Well, I loved you told such a cute story about this concept of making sure you take time to enjoy and to rest from the stress of your life, whether it's work or whatever it is. You tell such a great story about getting into biking and you were having a conflict with, can I actually enjoy this time or do I need to bike for productive reasons? You know, does it have to be exercise? Do I need to make sure that I'm putting the right amount of time or learning the right thing? So talk a little bit about that. And why do we get so tied up with even this concept of allowing ourselves to have a hobby?
Yes. It's so interesting because there is a pushback against hobbies. Mm-hmm. And I get it because people, the hours are few, and we don't want to waste time, but rest is not wasting time. And I think that's something that we mix up a bit, but I personally couldn't figure out why something I loved and enjoyed so much was simultaneously difficult for me to do. I would get on my bike to ride and almost immediately begin to think of all the things that I needed to do. It was so hard to just be free to ride. And this rehearsal in my head, it would lead to guilt. I struggled with just finding the freedom to rest and exercise. And in my mind, I needed something to validate the ride beyond the sheer fact that I actually found joy in it. And in many ways, what the Lord was revealing to me was just pride and legalism. Mm. Pride because I didn't think I could afford to rest, but only God rests. And legalism because of the guilt I felt for not constantly being a workhorse. Mm. And so since then, God is helping me to see rest as a gift and to see – so and just for your listeners' sake, for me, yes, exercise is rest. So I love to exercise. I love to get on my bike and ride. It's a road bike and not like a little banana boat. Mm-hmm. So for me, that is rest. You find your rest, but that's my rest. It was really revealing to me as I would get on the bike and worry the whole entire time, which is not restful.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you even wrote that for some people, it doesn't mean you have to be laying down on your bed, you have to be sleeping or anything, but it's just a break from that routine that causes your mind to kind of work overtime. Laundry could be relaxing, cleaning could be relaxing. There's so many restful things. Now, neither of those things are relaxing for me, I'll just tell you.
Right.
But But a long bike ride. And I will tell you that I make this concerted effort to take a right-hand turn, which will take me on another 10 miles. And then because I can't go back. And every time I'm approaching that turn, I'm thinking, I should really turn around. I should really turn around. I have to get back. But as soon as I make that right-hand turn, there's something that releases in me and just lets me say, okay, now you have another 10 miles.
Are you a rider?
Yeah.
I'm talking about cycling.
And so it's just such a great way to force myself past that exact same conversation I have in my head every single time. It's very funny.
It is funny. And that is a really great way to force yourself. And I have done similarly. It's a great way to force yourself to rest and to get in a groove and just enjoy. Mm-hmm. And biking in particular allows for prayer and worship. It's just such a refreshing exercise and way to be within creation. And so it's really unique in that. But yes, as you've said, for some people, it would be reading a book. For other people, it is. I have a friend who she takes naps. It's a remark. I can't do that, but she has always taken a nap. And so for that, she's refreshed in that. And so she tries to schedule it and make sure it's her Sunday nap that she gets that nap in. And
My husband is such a good napper. I don't understand it either. He can come home and over the lunch hour, he can take a 20-minute nap and he is just ready to go when he heads back. If I took a 20-minute nap, I would want to sleep for 3 more hours. And so it's not the way that I can relax, but I love that people can just find their own. And that's kind of, you talk about that so much in your book, that this concept of enjoying and God and all the gifts he's given us such different gifts that our job is to kind of find out what they are and allow ourselves this opportunity to enjoy what he's given us.
Yes, absolutely. And so for example, we've talked about being administrative versus being creative artistically. We won't all be artistically gifted, but we can look at art and we can appreciate that God has created someone to be able to do that. We don't all enjoy cooking, but we can appreciate the food that we are eating because someone labored for it. We can thank God for it. We can enjoy the flavors in it rather than just scarfing, which is what most of us do. And so there are various giftings, but we can enjoy all aspects of life. And I think that's where I'm getting to. We need to sit, rest, think, and enjoy.
Well, I'm just so blessed to be talking to Trulia Neubel today about her book, Enjoy, Finding the Freedom to Delight Daily in God's Good Gifts. If you're listening, you'd like to get your hands on her book. We do have a few copies to give away. You can give us a call at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. And we'll be right back to talk more with Trulia Neubel. Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender in for Neil Stavem today. Well, are you enjoying every good thing that God has created for you? Have you taken the time to slow down a little bit, start tasting and seeing what he has made? Well, we're talking about that today with author and speaker Trulia Neubel. She's written a book called Enjoy, Finding the Freedom to Delight Daily in God's Good Gifts. You know, Trulia, I love your chapter on relationships and the necessity of enjoying people as well. What is God's intention with people and how do we fail to do that sometimes?
There's a lot of reasons or a lot of ways that we fail, but I can see within the scriptures, God has not created us to be isolated or alone. God we image him in various ways. Obviously, we're not Trinitarian, but he is God, three in one. So he is not even alone. So it's, I think we can be tempted to think that we can do life alone and we can be alone and we can isolate ourselves. But throughout all of Scripture, you see God making people for people. Adam was alone. It wasn't good. He created Eve. So then we see a church. It's built with many parts, many people. And so I think that God just never intended for us to be completely isolated or alone. And throughout Scriptures, you see all of these one another's to encourage one another, to spur one another on, to admonish one another, to sing over one another, to kiss one another. So we are in constant encouragement to be in relationship in some form. So I think that's where I see God, just where I see in the Scriptures the importance of relationships. The trouble is sin. So we have a battle with our sin nature that we have to fight against. And one of the things we have to remember is our fight isn't ultimately against flesh and blood, right? So we have an enemy that would want to divide people and keep us bitter. Like our hearts can be bitter, and those are the troubling things with relationships. We're all very different, so we come with various hopes, dreams, but also opinions, and we love one another to not grow angry, to not be bitter, to not compete. We also see that throughout Scripture. Paul addressing the church and trying to help them to solve conflicts or to repent in various ways or to not elevate one person against the other. So there's a lot that we have to battle against, but it's, I think one author has said it's a mess worth making. Mm-hmm. Relationships are a mess worth making, and they really are.
You know, sometimes people might have taken a step of faith in a relationship, and maybe they've taken a risk and they were hurt or challenged or even destroyed by someone else. And now maybe they're kind of hanging back, not willing to make that investment in a relationship again. How can you encourage people to take that risk, as God would want us to do, to either mend that relationship or just try again?
Gosh, this world is filled with broken relationships all around in our own personal lives. And so the first thing I would say is if you've been hurt by someone and it's been hurt rather deeply, I am so sorry. And that is hard. And I want to be careful not to give you a ton of advice. I want to weep with you. I'd want to grieve with you if I were one-on-one with you. And be sorrowful with you. But yet we are called to forgive one another. And so if there's an offense that has been made, our ultimate calling and the way that God sees that we love him really is that we love one another. And one of the ways that we reflect him, I'll say, in our love to the world is that we love one another. And so I would encourage you, if this is something that you've been holding on, ask the Lord to help you to not be bitter, to forgive and to love. And of course, it all depends on where this wound is, but deep, we are all called to forgive. If it's a relationship that can be potentially mended, I'd say press in on that relationship and ask the Lord for wisdom and guidance. Bring someone else in who's in your life if that's possible or necessary, and ask God, who's the God of reconciliation, he's the Redeemer, to do this work. And because he desires for our relationships to be united in love and in peace. We see a call for peace throughout the Scriptures, and so to have peace with one another. So I would encourage you to ask the Lord to do this work, because he's the one who really can move in the hearts of man. We can't change anyone's mind or anyone's heart. We can't will people to love us, but we can most definitely ask ourselves, are we doing the hard work of repentance and trusting the Lord and moving towards other people? And so it all depends on who you are and your situation. Real specifically, depending on where you are.
Well, and you're so wonderfully transparent and open in the way that you write in your book, and I'm sure you are in your life as well. And it's just such a welcoming way to kind of look at the fact that, hey, a lot of us have been in that position of maybe we've mistreated someone or been mistreated by someone. But as you say, God is the God of reconciliation, and it is to Him we should go first in not thinking that we can somehow do the changing ourselves to another person.
Right.
Even our own hearts. And
absolutely. Absolutely. He says He will He will finish the good work He began in us, right? Mm-hmm. So if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to purify us, 1 John 1:9. But yet we see in Philippians, He's the one who completes it. He completes it. And so we can't muster up enough energy to change our own hearts. We need the Lord in order to be like Him. Mm-hmm. And what's amazing is that He wants us. He desires to change us, and He says He will. And so that brings me a great comfort. And it's good to know that Jesus has been tempted in every way, but without sin. And He invites us to come to His throne of grace and receive mercy and help in our time of need. That's in Hebrews. And so we can come broken as we are and receive help and mercy in our time of need, because Jesus, he knows. He's entered into that same temptation, but he came out without sin. Mm-hmm. And so He stands for us, and that's so encouraging to me.
Well, and to just come with those open arms, I know a lot of us might think we have to kind of clean ourselves up before we can come to Him, or maybe we should be more spiritually mature than we are, and so we don't feel like we can come to Him. And He just makes no distinction in that we are to come regardless of how we're feeling or what we've been through, mm-hmm. or where we're at with our faith, that there is no such thing as being too spiritual to just come to Him with open hands.
Absolutely. And the psalmist, I love the psalms because they're weeping. They don't have some don't even say much. It's just, where are you, God? And so it's we want to be able to come to our Lord with anything and not feel like we have to have a spiritual freshening up, so to speak, but just come. So we take our broken relationships to our Savior and ask Him to do healing and to provide grace and to help us in our time of need. And we take our broken lives and we take our difficulty to rest. We take it all to Him who forgives and who cleanses and who gives us loads of grace upon grace upon grace, mm-hmm. which is encouraging to a weary heart.
Yeah, it seems like sometimes we're more welcome to give other people grace than we are to give ourselves. In fact, one of the sections I loved, you talked about hospitality. And now since you're administrative and maybe don't love cleaning your house, like I also do that, the concept of being hospitable, it's challenging. And so I know if people are coming over, I want everything to be perfect and that will stress me out. And so maybe I'll just not invite people over and hope that they can go to someone else's house. And you write that, hey, that's not what hospitality is all about. That we really, the people of the early church, did not look at it that way. How are we looking at hospitality and maybe not framing it the way that God would want us to frame that?
Sure. Well, often we can look at hospitality and immediately start thinking about ourselves, mm-hmm. and impressing others. So we want to clean everything up. We want to make sure we put everything in order. And in one way, this can be a gift. So to the woman or man who does this because they want to serve, praise the Lord. But most of the time, we're a little bit more worried about what others are going to think of us. And so it hinders our service. Mm-hmm. It hinders our love. It hinders us from allowing people to come and just enjoy company and enjoy a meal or enjoy fellowship, because we are so concerned with the external.
Right.
But as we talked about earlier, serving or any gifts are meant to serve and love others. So if we're going to clean, it's not because we want to look good. We want to, it's because we just want it to be comfortable for them. But if we don't have time to clean or to make a 5-course meal, then we want to know and rest and trust that we are going to serve them because through our love. Ultimately, we want to love people, and loving people isn't necessarily all this external. It's looking them in the eyes, listening, fellowshipping, inviting them in. There are so many lonely people who aren't even invited anywhere. The fact that if we could recognize that and invite more people in, I think we'd be surprised by how grateful someone would be just to have a warm meal and fellowship with another person.
Mm. And you know what? I make a mean cup of coffee, and really the whole point is to sit and have a conversation, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. It's not about what we... I remember going to a friend's home, and this was before I think the Lord was revealing, or it was in the middle of me understanding the meaning of hospitality and really serving others. And she has several children, and she had us in, and we had soup and bread.
Mm.
And I don't think I've ever been more blessed. It was, we had fellowship and soup and bread. And I thought, I was so affected by her desire to love us with what she had, and her desire not to try to impress and put out, the soup was great. It was not like it was, you know, I'm not, but she wasn't trying to put on anything. She was just working out of the giftings that the Lord had given her and the limitations that she had because of her children. But she wanted to have us in her home. And so it was perfect. And it was so encouraging. Now, with that said, I love to cook, and so if someone's coming over to my home, I might cook paella. I'm going to probably cook something rather extravagant because it brings me so much joy, and I love to serve people in that way. But my floor will likely not be picked up, and I have to just rest in that. Just trust the Lord that okay, you know, this is how God has uniquely gifted me, and not try to be all things, all these various ways, you know, try to impress, basically. So, yeah, I think we need to, if you do a mean cup of coffee, do it to the glory of the Lord and serve it and enjoy. Yeah.
Well, Trulia, I just appreciate your heart and your sense of humor, but especially the words you've written in your book. Again, the book is called Enjoy, Finding the Freedom to Delight Daily in God's Good Gifts. I encourage you to pick it up. If you'd like to get on that list to get a free giveaway, we'd love to still have you call us, 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. And of course, you can check out more about Trulia on our website, myfaithradio.com. We'll have a link to hers as well. And thanks so much just for giving us that encouragement, especially for encouraging me, just even at the end of our conversation, to know that we do all have different gifts and God will be glorified through each of them, won't he?
Yes, he will. Amen.
Bless you, Trulia. Thanks so much for joining us on Connecting Faith.
Thank you.
We'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. I'm Joe Bender, and just happy today to be talking to Lisa Marone. Lisa joins us every other Monday here on Connecting Faith. She's a physical therapist. She's a professor and an author, a speaker. She encourages everyone to get healthy for heaven's sake. Lisa, welcome back.
Hey,
Hey, Jill, great to be with you today.
Well, it's great to be with you, too. And since February is American Heart Health Month, we're coming to the end of February. You still have some great tips, though, for us. Today we're going to talk about the heart specifically. What do we need to know about a weakening heart?
Yeah, Jill, we don't want to let February get away without highlighting the heart a little bit. It is the Valentine's Day, and so we're already thinking about hearts throughout the month. But this really touches me personally, Joe, because when about a dozen years or so ago, my dad was had a major heart attack, and he ended up dying of a second heart attack. But in the midst of the first and second heart attack, he had a condition called congestive heart failure. And that's something that I really want to highlight, because congestive heart failure can sometimes happen because of significant heart event like a heart attack. But oftentimes, Joe, it can sneak up on people in their middle age, kind of like your blood pressure creeps up a little bit as you get into your 50s and 60s. We can get congestive heart failure kind of sneaking up on us. And some of the original symptoms, like the first signs that we're going to see, is we're going to see shortness of breath, and we're going to see fatigue. But now those get hidden because oftentimes when we're in our 50s and 60s, we've been starting to pack on a little bit of weight, and we start to think, oh, it's just because I'm heavy. So I'm walking up the stairs and I'm out of breath, or I'm cleaning house and I'm out of breath, and we kind of take it as if it's part and parcel to getting a little older and getting a little heavier. But we really need to make sure that our hearts are healthy.
So what are some of those signs that we might see and that should alarm us more than they probably do?
Mm-hmm. In addition to becoming short of breath or having extra fatigue, we want to make sure that we're checking out our ankles. Our feet and our ankles are oftentimes signs if we have congestive heart failure. When the right side of our heart begins to weaken, which is what congestive heart failure is, it's not strong enough to pump the blood around our body, we're going to find some fluid filling up in our legs. And we'll often find that the left ankle area is more swollen than the right. That's a sign of congestive heart failure. And there's different types of swelling. Sometimes we have a little bit of swelling because we've been up all day long. But specifically swelling that is called pitting edema, where you can push your finger into the swelling and kind of leave a little imprint there for a bit. And that's telling us that there's some really significant swelling going on in our lower limbs.
I found that so fascinating, and even the picture that you sent along. You know, some people may attribute a swelling in ankles, like you said, oh, I've had a hard day, or maybe I've gained a little bit of weight, or I was on my feet all day. And so I feel like unless we're consciously looking for these things, maybe they kind of sneak up, and maybe that's the problem with congestive heart failure is people notice the signs, but they don't really know what they're pointing to.
Yeah, and we often just, like, we'll write them off. You know, oh, this is nothing, I'm a little bit heavier. Oh, this is nothing, I've been on my feet all day. What's really important, first of all, if you have a family history of heart disease, and heart disease can be anything like high cholesterol, it could be heart arrhythmias, it might be high blood pressure, it's really important that when you get into your 40s, that you start to have a baseline visit to your cardiologist. Just have them check you out, have an EKG done, have a sonogram done. And then as you get older, as you're nearing towards 50, with the kind of heart disease that I have in my family history, I showed up at the cardiologist's office and I said, hey, all my numbers look really good, but I don't want to end up with my father's history. So what else can you do for me? And that cardiologist said, you know, what I'd like to do is I'd like to do a carotid sonogram. Your carotid arteries are in your neck, and they supply your brain, very important arteries. And I want to look at the arteries in and around your brain. And so he did what's called a transcranial sonogram. And so in both of those things, Joe, he's looking for, do I have plaquing going on in my arteries? And if I did, then he's going to put me on a statin medication, which is going to help to reduce that. I was very thankful to have all of those tests come back clear. But unless I had gone to the cardiologist and had those things done, I really don't know what's going on in my body. And so I'm just, you know, want to encourage people who are listening today that if they're having shortness of breath, that could be a sign that the left side of your heart is weakening. If you're having fluid in your legs, that could be a sign that your right side of your heart is weakening. If you're feeling like that you're getting headaches a lot, kind of out of the blue, maybe even nosebleeds, maybe your heart your blood pressure, excuse me, is too high, is starting to creep up on you. So it's really important that we keep a good eye on these things and check first with our primary care physicians and then, if we need to a cardiologist as well for a better look-see.
And in addition to making sure we're checking with our cardiologist, are there just ways that we could eat and move around in a more healthy way to present our bodies in the best possible place that we can?
Absolutely. You know, our heart health has very much to do with how physically active we are. The more physically fit we are tends to go hand in hand with being a little trimmer around our waistlines. And so if we can reduce the pressure in our bodies by reducing our blood pressure, that's going to help our hearts to be healthier. Because when your blood pressure rises in your arteries, your heart has to push much harder. Your heart is like a muscle pump, and it's having to push your blood uphill, if you would. It's pushing against a harder gradient of pressure. And so that's why blood pressure, high blood pressure, is so deleterious and damaging to the heart muscle itself. And so that's one thing we need to do. We just need to move more. You'll hear me say that on so many different topics. Mm-hmm. The more we move, the healthier we are. And then we need to just eat a heart-healthy diet. We need to make sure that we're eating good fats and not bad fats, healthy fats like nuts and avocados and eggs. Those are good kind of fats. They make us feel satisfied. They're creamy and yummy, and olive oil, all those things taste great. And so we tend not to then be desiring all of the bad fats, the saturated fats, butters and things that are saturated, lots of beef and things like that. So if we can steer clear of a lot of that and then just use those at celebration times, you know, in small amounts, we're going to be doing our hearts a great favor by feeding them well and by keeping our blood pressure low so that our hearts don't have to pump so hard.
Well, and of course, we should be paying attention to this for the other 11 months of the year as well, not just for February Heart Healthy Month, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. But let today be the first day that you pay attention to your heart. Without it, we cannot live. So that's a really important motivator for me. So move more each day than you do now. Make better health food choices. Fuel yourself with food. Don't fill yourself with food.
Mm. Well, and even some ways to move around can be small ways. I know some of my friends get hung up on the fact, oh, I can't get an hour workout in today, so I'm just going to wait till tomorrow. That's probably not the best way to look at it, is it?
It isn't. Any way to move is a good way. You know, people don't realize that when you're cleaning your house, if you actually just picked up the pace of vacuuming and mopping, you'd start to become a little breathless, and that there is exercise. If you want to sweep your patio, rake your leaves, that's exercise. If you want to park a little bit further out in the parking lot of a store, walk quickly into the store, push your cart quickly through the store, anything that's raising your heart rate up might not look like traditional exercise. And one of my favorites is put on some praise music and start moving around your house, waving your arms and in praise, and you'll raise your heart rate, you'll make your blood pressure drop, and your heart will love you for it.
Mm. Well, Lisa Marone, we just so thank you for giving us not only some great tips, but some ways that we can prolong our life and prolong it in a way where we are healthy and happy and with the people that we love. So thanks so much for being able to provide those for us.
Wonderful speaking with you today.
Well, we look forward to talking to Lisa again in 2 weeks. She will help us to get healthy for heaven's sake as she joins us 2 weeks from today. Thanks again, Lisa, and we hope that you are putting together a plan so that you can be heart healthy as well. Well, we've just had a great conversation today on Connecting Faith, both with Lisa Marone and with Trillia Newbell. If you listen to a bit of our show and you want to make sure and go back and hear the podcast in its entirety, you can go to myfaithradio.com. Just click on Connecting Faith and you'll see a list of our podcasts there for today's show and many others as well. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to talk a little bit about kind of getting organized and not being stressed of the things that might bog you down as far as being clutter-free. We're going to talk with Kathy Lipp about many other subjects, and she's just one of my very favorite guests, has such a great sense of humor and some wonderful tips as well. I hope you'll join us tomorrow on Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.